I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome to La Liga Lowdown. We've just witnessed an absolutely surprisingly one-sided game at the Metropolitano. I'm your host, Matt Clark, joined by a very happy Barca fan, Roman D'Arche. It's been a good week for Barca, Roman. How are you?
Hey Matt, it's been a great week for Barca. I mean, we were talking before the pod, like, can't remember this season, you know, having two big games in a row with the such a good result. Maybe there have been, but I mean, I kind of forgot. So this has been definitely a pleasant one for us Barca fans.
Certainly has. And could you have imagined going to the Metropolitano, where Atleti hadn't lost in the league since last January, and Barca rock up there without all these key names, without the, you know, the, basically the whole midfield, without Ferran, without Christensen, Lamine Yamal's rested to start, and Barca rock up and win 3-0. I mean, totally comprehensive result.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely could not imagine that happening, especially if the way the game started, because honestly, Atletico were all over us. We were boring and dull. It was reminding me of the other games we'd had recently in La Liga against the Mallorca, against Osasuna, where we got those close wins, but it was pretty dull. There wasn't much happening, and it felt like it was going to go down that path, honestly, because, you know, Barca just haven't really been themselves. We did see, of course, the game against Napoli where we did perform well, and I was kind of worried we would go back to the previous form and it was a one-off, which could perfectly be the case. But, you know, after a while, I mean, after the first goal especially, I think the team really changed and looked much better. But it's true that Atletico started off really well. They were pressing hard. They were looking like the better side. I honestly thought that Barca had no chance at that stage of the game, but thankfully things turned around, and the second half for me were in complete control. Surprisingly, Atletico really did not react. Obviously, that early 2-0 complicated things for them, and mentally I think they were maybe and physically too tired after that Champions League game, which of course went to extra time. But very happy because the team has responded in two very important games this season in a row.
Indeed, we'll chat a bit more about Barca in a second, but just on Atleti, you could caveat and say, well, they had a, you know, an intense game against Inter, having to win that, to take it to penalties, and then of course the emotional, mental drain of penalties, and it was a day after Barca's game, so they had less rest and a more demanding game come off the back of that. But yet, this is a team with a home record to be proud of, and they just, I mean, João Félix's goal would have absolutely stung, especially in that first half. His reaction was a little bit understated. I thought he was going to really go for it, but he didn't. And as you say, Lewandowski's goal straight after the break, he was fantastic today, wasn't he? But Atleti, really disappointing, worrying from them, because now they find themselves outside the top four. And looking at their next run of games after the international break, Villarreal away, then it's Dortmund at home, Girona at home, Dortmund away, Alaves, and then what could be effectively a playoff, they host Athletic Club. So it's going to be really tense now, but Atleti have given themselves a mountain to climb.
Yeah, you were saying that Joao didn't celebrate too much. Maybe they've told him that he's not going to continue at Barcelona and he might have to return there. So probably the smarter move. But as you said, I don't think the fact that they played the Champions League game right till the very end is an excuse, because they are a very strong home team, as you mentioned. And I mean, they still have the quality. They have enough rotation, and let's not forget, in front they have a Barcelona which hasn't been too good this season. I mean, it's true that they played really well against Napoli, they got a good result, when they needed it. And it's true that it is Barca after all, but Barca does also have lots of injuries, as you mentioned, lots of players unavailable. There were rotations this game because, of course, Lamine played full match in the Champions League. And so, I mean, Atleti couldn't really afford or shouldn't have afforded this 3-0 defeat. I think it's too big, and it could have been, honestly, 4 or 5 in the end, because Barca were pressing and having their opportunities. Atleti really, I guess, were trying to go forward. Of course, they could have scored as well, to be fair. But it was a very open game at the end, and it could have been worse for Atleti. But they definitely have to react. They have to be in the Champions League next season. I know they're most likely going to be in the World Cup of Clubs in 2025, which at least is a good chunk of money that Barca is missing out on. Eduard Romeu leaving, the VP of the economy for Barca the other day, could have to do with that, they're saying, of course, because Barca are going to miss out on a big chunk of money, but hopefully it's not the case. And anyway, Atletico need to pull their socks up, basically, because this isn't a good run and they have to get back on track.
Yeah, a big blow off the back of the euphoria of Wednesday night. I'm sure fans, if they were offered the chance, which one would you rather win, they would have had it this way around, beating Inter and going through in the Champions League. But again, this is a big blow to take before the break. And as for Barca, well, Xavi was sent off before half-time in typical Xavi style, you might say. But that's 5 wins out of 5 for him against Diego Simeone in his tenure at Barca. And they've handed Atleti their heaviest home defeat in any competition in the Metropolitano. Their last time they lost by 3 goals at home, a certain Cristiano Ronaldo scored a hat-trick in the Calderon. So a really impressive win for Barca, as you say, off the back of that win against Napoli. And they're still unbeaten since Xavi announced his decision to leave. So this change of dynamic he was calling for, it seems to have been delivered.
Yeah, it's possible. I think he wanted a different reaction, because a lot of these games could have gone worse. You know, I mean, Barca still haven't been too much better since Xavi announced that. But definitely, I think it calmed the waters a bit, and obviously it took a bit of pressure out of him and the players. And I kind of feel like this was the stunt they wanted. You know, they did it because of this, not because Xavi was really burnt out or whatever, which probably is too. But I think he would be willing to continue at the end of the season if things turned out to go well for Barcelona, if they make, I don't know, to the Champions League final, say, or if they somehow win La Liga. I wouldn't be surprised if everybody changes their mind, but I'm glad the team is doing well at the moment, because it needs results. And seeing how the club is financially, I mean, good results are needed, good things happening are important for our momentum.
Mm. Well, they're up to second now following Girona's loss, which we'll talk about before the break. Now Barca back behind Real Madrid, 8 points adrift. We'll see if that gap can close after the international break. As for Real Madrid, they went to El Tadar and won 4-2. A brace from Vinicius and goals from Dani Carvajal and Brahim Diaz were enough to get another 3 points for Carlo Ancelotti's side, as the Italian reached 200 victories in all competitions for Real Madrid. We could talk about Vinicius once again, but I want to talk about Brahim Diaz, because he's had quite a week, Roman. Lots of media speculation that he was going to declare for Morocco. Then he did, and Morocco promptly called him up. And lots of the press were slating De La Fuente for saying, oh, you've ignored this guy, he should be playing for Spain, and now we've lost him. And then De La Fuente announced his squad and basically said, look, he was on the pre-list, but then I couldn't call him because he'd already changed his mind. So kind of, you know, who do you believe, essentially? But what's your take on the Brahim Diaz decision to play for Morocco?
If I'm going to be 100% honest, Matt, I don't really care.
Okay. Moving on.
No, I mean, it's not a big deal for me, honestly. I mean, Brahim is definitely a talented player. If you can have him, much better. And maybe he'll become a superstar and I'll regret my words. It could be the case. But I think they're making too much of a big deal at this stage about this. I don't know who's saying the truth, who isn't. Some are saying that Brahim had his conditions. Honestly, I just don't think it's a moment to have to worry about this. We have good players. We have plenty to select. Right now, I don't think Brahim is essential in any way. But as I said, if we could have him, I think it would have been better. Maybe the Federation could have handled it in a different way. I don't know. I don't know really what were the key factors that made him change the decision. I also think that playing for Morocco at the moment is a very attractive also thing, you know, because I mean they have a very good squad, very talented players too there. We've seen how well they did recently in the World Cup. I think there's a lot of potential. Also in the African Cup they did pretty well. I mean they have a lot of potential there, but I don't know. I don't think we have to lose our heads about this. It's true that once he plays for Morocco, it's over. We can't bring him back. But, you know, players have in the end the decision they want to make. And if he's happy playing for Morocco, I mean, let's just accept that, you know. But it's not as if we're losing Messi to Morocco, or I don't think so, at least. So that's why I think there's too much focus on the media regarding this thing, you know.
I think it's fair to say, listener, if Brahim Diaz was playing like this for a club like, say, Real Sociedad, they wouldn't perhaps be the amount of media attention. Just an idea. But Morocco did knock Spain out of the World Cup, so you never know. You may have just thought, Morocco, better option. Who knows? Anyway, moving back to the football. And Girona, oh, poor old Girona. They've had a tough run of it away from home lately. And that's another defeat on the road coming at the Coliseum. A first goal for Jesus Santiago, better known as Yelu, for Getafe, as Bordalas made it back-to-back wins. Well, back-to-back home decent results against coaches who play good football. The Bordalas method showing that he can mix it with the best of them. A 1-0 result for Getafe and keeps them well in the hunt for Europe. But as for Girona, they slip to third. Still a decent cushion over fourth, but I don't know, now you feel like they just need to hang in there for top four, right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of always say this, but I felt this was coming at some point. You feel like Girona were doing just too well, so well. I mean, it was incredible. I think it's still incredible what they've done. But at some point, you feel like they're going to have to drop points. They don't have the squad maybe to keep up the rhythm required to play Micha's football and getting the results they were all the way throughout the season, you know. And so they're going to have to start dropping points at some stage. And honestly, Getafe, for me, were deserved winners. You mean they had some really good chances in this game. They made most with that goal from a 19-year-old, actually, for Getafe, who got those three crucial points. Because let's not forget, as you said, Getafe are still fighting for those European positions. It's quite complicated, I'll have to say. But, you know, I guess it's also like motivation towards the upcoming season, seeing how they've turn things around since one of the last came, because not so long ago Getafe were really struggling, let's not forget, you know. So I mean, it's a great turn of events for them this season so far. And yeah, hopefully Girona, as you said, can still cling on to those Champions League positions. I'd love to see them competing in the highest level in Europe next year, even though we know that sometimes it is complicated to handle so many competitions. Some teams struggle more than others, but nowadays I think with the backing also, we could say they kind of have from City and all that, I think they should be fine if they make it there. So let's see how it goes for them from now till the end of the season.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say they'll be playing in some form of European competition next season. So we'll see which one it is. One club which looks like at the moment they're on course for the top four is Ernesto Valverde's Athletic Club, because they had a Basque derby on Saturday night and Gorka Gurdeta came to the party. He's having a great 2024. And this was an incredible passage of play for the opening goal, because Alaves have a penalty. Luis Rioja, who's been so impressive for them this season, had it saved by Unai Simon. And then literally up the other end, Athletic go. Nico Williams in for Gorka Gurdeta, 1-0. 5 minutes later, 2-0. Job done. 3 points. Happy days. San Mamés roaring once again. And that's their final home game before the Copa final. And it leaves them in a fantastic position into fourth spot ahead of Atleti.
Yeah, just impressive how well Athletic Club are doing this season. You know, they're just so consistent. The William brothers are just doing phenomenally well. If it's not one, it's the other. And if it's not one of these two, then of course it's Gurdeta coming in and scoring goals. So, I mean, it was something that would worry me, you know, a few years ago. Like, what's going to happen with Athletic's offense, you know? Because it felt like, I mean, you had decent players. Sanchez also coming in here and there, scoring goals. Berenguer, but you never felt like maybe there was someone who's going to be there, you know, for the upcoming years. And Iñaki Williams was never fully reliable. But, I mean, this season, everybody's clicking. When one isn't performing, the other is. And the team just is collecting win after win after win. And I think they're definitely going to be in the Champions League, I'd say, honestly, at this stage. Of course, still a long way to go, but they just look so reliable, and Atletico don't. I just kind of feel like they're going to make it through. Maybe I just
went too fast
in saying that, but I honestly kind of feel like they're just way more reliable at this stage of the season than Atletico de Madrid. And let's see what happens. But maybe even Girona could drop off there and Atletico make it through. But at this level, as I say, Atletico are just doing super well.
Well, they certainly seem to be much more informed. They've had a much better calendar year so far than Atleti. And of course, they knocked them out of the Copa. And as for Atleti, yeah, I mean, you think it'd be a real shock if, you know, under Diego Simeone, they don't make the top four. It'd be the first time. But Atleti have lost 8 games this season, which is only one fewer than Getafe in 10th. So that just serves to show how Atleti have been pretty much win or lose. I mean, they've only drawn 4.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the key for them, isn't it? Just losing so many games. We'll perhaps talk more about them in the international break when we have a bit more time to dissect. But yeah, as for Athletic, phenomenal campaign so far. Looking ahead to the Copa final. And yeah, just rolling on. Defensively solid. Danny Vivian called up for the national side. And they just go marching on. We're going to get one more game in before the break, because of course we have all 20 teams in action this weekend, as it is the international break. So we've got 10 games to cover rather than our usual 9. And that game that I'm going to select is a massive headline, because Almeria won a game of football. Pepe Mel strides in, walks in the door, says, "You're on 31 games on without a win." That's changing. Goes to Las Palmas, one of his former clubs, and they get a 1-0 win, courtesy of Leo Baptistao. Roman, finally, it happened.
I wasn't sure we would be living this moment this season, talking about Almeria winning, but it did happen, surprisingly, with Pepe Mel in his first game. I mean, that's quite a feat already. I think he might be a hero already in Almeria, because it's been a tough ride. They've been so close in so many games, and finally they've achieved to do it. And I mean, if you look at the stats of this game, it's Las Palmas 21 shots, 6 on target. Almeria 3 shots, 2 on target. So I mean, you can imagine how the game went. Las Palmas pushing and pushing. The first half they did have some very good opportunities, but then in the second half it was mostly shots from far. You know, I mean, some were pretty dangerous, of course, but Almeria managed to close down Las Palmas pretty well, and they just, I guess, prayed and hoped for a miracle, and it finally came by. And it had to be away from home also, because I mean, we were saying that if they won, they would probably be in their home ground, and surprisingly, it wasn't the case. So I mean, I'm happy for them, happy especially for the fans. I mean, how incredible it must have been to celebrate 3 points after I don't know how long. I mean, poor fans, has been such a struggle so far, and maybe from now on they can get a few more wins and enjoy their last moments this season in top tier.
Yeah, it takes them up to 13 points, just one behind Granada now, so you never know, the dream of being 19th is very much alive. Quick word on Las Palmas though, they've conceded 37.5% of their season's goals in the last 5 games. So really kind of falling off a cliff in terms of results. Mm-hmm. Obviously the 5-0 away to Atleti, then they drew with Osasuna, conceded 3 at the Coliseum, lost 2-0 to Athletic, and then followed that up with the defeat here against Almeria. And after the break, Pimienta heads back home to Barca, so that'll be an interesting one to watch. But yeah, Las Palmas, certainly no worries about relegation. They're comfortably mid-table. But any kind of hopes of a Euro push and a strong finish are fading fast. That's it for the first part of the show, and we'll be back after the break to talk about the rest of the games, including some big results in the race for Europe and the battle at the bottom. Stay tuned.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown, match day 29 recap. Sevilla faced Celta in a crunch game at the bottom. Rafa Benitez had been sacked, of course, this week to be replaced by Claudio Giraldez. And his first game was a tough one away to Sevilla, especially when Youssef En-Nesyri gave them the lead after 18 minutes. But two second-half goals from Carlos Perez and Jorgen Strand Larsen with his 10th of the season. Very impressive from the Norwegian. Turned it round and completed the remontada. And Celta looked a lot better, it's fair to say, under Giraldez. And they come away with the big 3 points from the Sánchez Pizjuán.
Yeah, big 3 points. It's so surprising how, well, incredible how managerial changes sometimes will often come with this bounce, you know, in the first game, getting a win immediately. And it happens so often in football. And once again, we saw, and as you said, it was a tough game to get the 3 points. And they turned it around, of course, starting off from behind. And I'm glad for Celta because their squad isn't, I think, as bad as the results have maybe shown. We all know that Benitez was struggling quite a bit. Maybe it was a long-term project and things would have changed next season. We don't know. But it's true that, as you mentioned, already one game and they've looked much sharper than in many other games so far this season. So I guess might have been the right choice. I had my doubts, honestly, I have to say, because I don't really like these changes when it's not extremely necessary. But let's see how it goes for Celta from now on. And let's see how it goes for Sevilla, because I guess you also saw the images with Quique Sánchez Flores and En-Nesyri when he got subbed. That got really tense, very ugly to see. Honestly, as a player, you have to keep a cool head with your manager in front of everybody. You just can't do that. You know, I mean, you can be really annoyed and kick box or whatever, but then you can't turn around and talk to your manager that way. I think that was a very bad look, and I'm worried for En-Nesyri because not sure if he's going to get much more playing time. Maybe he will out of need more than out of respect from the manager.
Yeah, I mean, not often Lucas Ocampos is peacemaker, but he did a great job there coming between the Moroccan and Quique Sánchez Flores. Let's see if Brahim can calm Youssef down when they link up with Morocco. Perhaps that'll be a way to calm En-Nesyri down. But yeah, big win for Celta. They move. They're still only 17th, but crucially, five clear of the drop zone and only one behind Sevilla. So again, plenty of work to do for the Andalusian side. A couple of results now, which were kind of involving teams at the bottom and teams going for Europa League. So we had on Friday night, Real Sociedad hosting Cadiz. And then earlier today, we had Rayo against Betis. Now, you would have imagined that, well, let's talk about Cadiz first, because they'd come off a decent run, having come from two down to draw with Celta. They then drew against Rayo with a last-minute equaliser. They then beat Atleti, of course, last weekend. So they were heading to Anoeta, a ground where La Real have struggled at recently, thinking maybe there's a chance for some more points here for Cadiz. But as it was, they lost 2-0. And then we come to Sunday, and Rayo Vallecano, who hadn't won at home since mid-September, they go and beat Betis. So a huge kind of swing in the relegation picture, because now Cadiz, who had a bit of a revival, now find themselves 5 points away again and have to try and go again. And Rayo put themselves seven clear. So these two games seemed pretty decisive for me. It felt like a huge couple of results for, in particular, Rayo and Cadiz. What did you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Cadiz are in a stage where not grabbing points is almost critical, you know? So, I mean, if for some reason Celta win next game and they lose again, it's going to be almost over, I'd say. I've always said that for me those three teams at the bottom are the ones going down, and I feel like it's going to happen. You know, Cadiz are kind of pushing. They did have their opportunities against Real Sociedad. They don't look maybe as dull as they were for the most part of the season, and maybe there could be a miracle happening, but it does feel like it's going to be very, very complicated for them to make it work. And on the other hand, who's actually kind of worrying me is Betis, because that's three defeats in a row. The Isco effect is kind of fading away a bit, we could say, because he was grabbing, I think, MVP after MVP, no matter what performance he put on the,
even when he was
the
injured.
Pitch. Yeah, exactly. But now Betis, yeah, are struggling quite a bit. They're still obviously in a comfortable position fighting for Europe and all that, but if they keep this up, maybe Europe won't be the case for them next season.
Mm. Just to flip back onto the relegation just briefly, as we say, a crucial next weekend. Well, not next weekend, but when we come back after the break, because Delta take on Rayo, which is going to be big for both sides, and Cadiz on the Friday night, the first game back in La Liga after the break, they host Granada. So again, that is an absolute must win for Cadiz if they're to have any chance, especially as either Rayo or Celta or both are going to pick up something in their game. So yeah, it's beginning to look a little bit more defined once again at the bottom. We thought maybe Cadiz were going to push and drag the others back in, but there's a little bit of separation once again. Yeah, back to that European race then, Roman. You talked about Betis there. Real Sociedad, a little bit of momentum gathered, back-to-back wins, albeit against teams in the bottom three. But, you know, when Betis are stuttering, they had to win, and they did. And they're now 4 points clear of Betis. Just below those two sides is Valencia and Villarreal, because there was a derby in the regional community this weekend as well. Mathelino against his old side. And it was the hosts, the Yellow Submarine, who came out on top. Four straight wins in La Liga for the Yellow Submarine. The Marcelino effect is working, and it brings Villarreal right into that race for Europe.
Yeah, and I still feel like Villarreal have so much more potential still, because we saw, for example, their performance against Marseille.
So close. And we've
So close
to turning it around.
Yeah, but I meant especially the first leg, you know? I mean, that was very poor from Villarreal. And many games in which they've won, it's felt like they were kind of maybe lucky, or they struggled more than they should. So, I mean, if despite that, they're getting good results. They're getting close to Europa League. They were almost... Europa League, of course. Or Conference League. They were almost came back, as you mentioned, in the Europa League against Marseille, which was also very, very close. Keeping in mind that, for me, there's so much more to find or to improve. I mean, it could be a very exciting season for Villarreal next year if they make it work in the transfer market and they keep certain good players and they improve certain positions. And of course, with Marcelino on board, who's a fantastic manager, I mean, there's a long way to go there, and I'm really excited for what's to come, because honestly, it's surprising to see that not so long ago they were like maybe 15th, 16th, struggling so much, and out of nowhere there they are, as you said, about to be fighting for European positions. They're still 8 points away, which is quite the gap, but you know, Valencia are two away, Betis are four. They could be in the fight if they keep up the good results. And in this game, honestly, it was pretty balanced, I'd say, in the end. But they did miss a penalty from Baena. Great save. Mamardashvili had a very good performance, especially in the first half, and he kept Valencia in the game for a bit. And in the end, you know, Villarreal got luckier, I guess, and they got the win. But great result once again. And as you said, the Marcelino effect doing its thing.
Indeed, a very strong result for them. Getting bragging rights in the local area as well. Always always what you want to see as a fan. Last but by no means least, Mallorca against Granada. Admittedly, not a lot in this game, but it was a late goal by the Kaiser, Antonio Raillo, with a header to get the 3 points for the home side. Aguirre smiling once more. Mallorca almost there in terms of securing safety. Realistically, they've got no worries there. They're on 30 points, 8 clear. And yeah, with 9 more games, you'd fancy Mallorca to pick up enough points to stay ahead of the pack. As for Granada, again, a late defeat. Well adrift now. They're gone along with Almeria. And talk of a change of coach as well in the local reports for Granada.
Yeah, I guess it would be thinking about next season, because I don't see why else a change would be of any use at the moment. So probably working on Segunda, on how they can climb back up to the top. And Mallorca, you know, lately enjoying good results, making it to the Copa del Rey final, getting the job done, as you said. They were the the better side, definitely, in this game, And honestly, it would have been a bad look, I'd say, not grabbing the 3 points. They came quite late in the end, as you said, through that Raya goal and deserved win. And honestly, I'm happy for Aguirre because, you know, he's a manager that everyone at least has a few laughs with. He's always got some great comment to leave in a press conference. And his team was doing really well last season. And I kind of always thought that they were going to do better this one. But still, I'm glad that they're holding on and getting good results lately.
Indeed. So that wraps it up for the weekend's results. We now head to the international break, which I'm sure many of you are delighted to hear about. But some teams will be very grateful for the break. Of course, Barca fans praying that Pau Cubarsí doesn't play too much for Spain and comes back nice and healthy. Spain play Colombia on Friday in the London Stadium, West Ham Stadium, of course, former Olympic Stadium, before taking on the might, well, not so much at the moment, of Brazil at the Bernabeu the following Tuesday. So, Roman, a couple of interesting friendlies there for De La Fuente to experiment with some players, perhaps. What did you make of the squad? Return for Sarabia, first call-ups for Vivian and Cubarsí, otherwise fairly similar. Baena's in there. Similar faces to the last squad.
Yeah, I was sad Brahim wasn't there. Nah, just kidding. honestly, kind of the usual, I'd say, with what De La Fuente goes for. Always a few changes here and there, but nothing shocking, I guess. Maybe Cubarsí could be the most surprising, but there were already talks about this, and we've seen how they often tend to give a lot of confidence, we could say, trust to these youngsters coming from Barcelona, which other clubs don't seem to like happening. But I mean, if it works, and why not? You know, I mean, talented players that are performing at a good level in a club like Barcelona, I think, is worth checking out. Honestly, I think it's a bit too exaggerated to bring them on so soon. Honestly, Cubarsí has barely had any games at Barcelona, even though he's performing really well. I don't think it's really necessary to have him in the national team. Maybe it does give him a first feel, you know, of how things work, and maybe the manager can get to know him a bit better. And being a friendly, maybe it does make a bit more sense than if it were a qualifier or something like that. But anyway, I mean, I'm happy to see things are working out for him. He had another great performance against Atletico Madrid this weekend, so he's definitely got a lot of talent. I think he could be a centre-back for the future, there's no doubt about that. And, well, regarding other names, nothing too surprising, I guess. Maybe, as you said, Sarabia coming back on, but he's always been a player really liked by De La Fuente, by Luis Enrique, kind of guy that can give you different options, I guess, to other alternatives in attack. And, yeah, aside from that, nothing too shocking. Happy for Vivian. He's been performing really well for a while now, and I think he's also a very valuable centre-back. And yeah, hopefully we'll do well. The national team will get some good results.
Indeed. Let's see how they get on. We'll be across it, of course, here at La Liga Lowdown. I was looking actually at the names that are in and out and who's missing, because obviously it's Gavi's first squad that he's missed under De La Fuente. In contrast, though, Pedri hasn't played a single minute under De La Fuente. His last cap was in the World Cup. It's frightening how, I mean, he was called up in March last year, but then got injured, and he hasn't been in the squad since through injury.
But Pedri played so much for him in the Olympic Games that I think
indeed,
he's had plenty of Pedri, so hopefully he doesn't need more Pedri.
indeed. Let's not go through that again, because Barca fans will be shouting at their podcast devices or phones. Right, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Once again, thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to hear more of us and read more of us, you can do by subscribing at lolonline.substack.com. You have access to an extra pod and more articles through the paywall for just £5 a month. Roman, we think it's pretty good value. Try it out at the end of the season, see what you think, and go from there.
Exactly. They should give it a go. Our content is basically daily, so I mean, why not? And if you love La Liga, you love football, we don't just write about Barca and Madrid, which is what many others do. We talk about all the clubs, so I think
everyone,
that's something you don't find very often, especially in English. So enjoy that, please.
Indeed. Plenty of Pepe Mel talk this week, I'm sure, no doubt. anyway, from all of us here, enjoy the international break. We'll speak to you again very soon. But until then, hasta luego.
Hey, Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.